Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Nice. Hey, everyone. So we're recording this before the election, releasing it after the election. So, Danny, it looks like you have something to say.
Yes. Here at 12 Points for America, we would love to congratulate...
Insert name of presidential candidate one here.
For his electoral victory over...
Insert name of presidential candidate number two here.
In a sweeping referendum on...
Insert name of political movement here.
Congratulations. We love courting whatever the exact opposite of controversy is. Derek, take it away.
And welcome to another patriotic episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, a country that everyone's really happy about, I hope. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
Danny.
All right. And Danny's having some internet issues, so this might be interesting. But welcome. It's been a couple weeks. It's good to see everyone. How's everybody doing?
Still here.
Perfectly adequate.
Just fine.
My cat's here.
Enjoying some spooky, cat's scary skeletons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was Halloween yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turned back the clock to the past for an hour because of farming.
The past. Don't say that.
Yeah. Which past? That's the thing. You really have to be specific about that sort of thing. But in the meantime, regardless of what form of the past you are in, you can drop us a line on social media. Sam, what's our social media?
Our media, you say?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the plural.
We can be hit up in either Facebook fashion or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, or you can just check out our website at 12pointsfromamerica.com. If you're listening to us through your favorite podcast providing media, we would really appreciate if you would subscribe, if you would give us a review. Let us know how we can make the show even more awesome. We can't do that without you, the listeners. So where we go from here?
Well, I thought, even though we all know each other extremely well, that I would offer up some
speak for yourself
questions. Yeah, okay. I've just been thinking a lot about things that are not really related to Eurovision, or at least maybe tangentially so.
Yeah.
And thought, I'm going to ask us weirdos some questions and see what happens here. Speaking of which, if you have some questions for us, you should contact us on social media, Twitter, email. Just let us know a question that you would like us to answer on the show. And as long as it's not, you know, horrible, we'll probably just do it. So yeah, hit us up. Let us know which things you want us to say on the internet.
Think about.
Yeah, think about things. More on that in a second. Question one for you guys. We just had Halloween. What Eurovision entry or concept scares you the most?
Trying to get another visa for Azerbaijan. That was a rough one.
That's spoopy.
That was super spoopy. If I hear the hold music for the embassy again, I might start foaming at the mouth because I was literally back in 2012 on hold trying to get my visa or my passport returned to me with my visa in it for approximately 8 or 9 hours worth of being on hold. So
let's hear a clip.
Derek, I will crawl through this computer and whack you upside the head and steal your cat.
Oh, so that's what that song's about.
Huh. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm the most scared about. Whatever voting system they were using in the late 90s.
What do you mean?
So,
some hot, spicy garbage. I feel like it was needlessly complex, which is just kind of what Eurovision's all about. So I take it back.
So back during that time, it was probably even less complex than it is now, considering now we have the split between what the jury's doing, what the public's doing.
So the voting system in general, I'll change it to that.
It is pretty scary. Lots of numbers and, well, really, that's all. It's just a lot of numbers. I feel like when I think about something scary at Eurovision, I think about if a song that was like really bad or really controversial or something like that somehow won the contest and then... The following year, there was a Eurovision in their country where they got to do an encore thing and they're the toast of the town, even though nobody wants them to be. And it's super awkward and really, really terrifying. So I guess what I'm saying is I agree.
Oh, no. Yeah.
My answer is apparently the same as Sam's. No. Or, like, imagine if Hatred Munsigra had won and there was a mildly Hatari themed Icelandic Eurovision. Now, granted, it would have just then been canceled, but we didn't know that at the time. But that would have been not so much scary for me, but I feel like for a lot of people, it would have been up there.
I think the only frightening thing about an Icelandic hosted Eurovision would probably be the kidney that I would have to sell in order to afford going for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Try staying for 2.5 weeks in Reykjavik.
Yep.
You have to get a tent.
It'd be worth it. It'd be worth it.
Iceland is one of those countries you can camp anywhere, right? I think that's the case. Sweden does that.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Just roll into the press center after sleeping in a tent all night.
Would it really be the craziest thing any of us have done for Eurovision?
Yes.
For Eurovision?
Flying to Switzerland for a weekend, that may have been the craziest thing I've ever done for Eurovision.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Just like on a whim.
It's like, hey, there are Christmas markets going on and there's a Swiss national final. What the heck? I had PTO to burn. Hmm. Remember when we could go to places? I missed places.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I got to change my answer. I think realistically, the scariest Eurovision thing I can think of is scenario A next year, where they just fill the arena with people.
Spoken like a true American.
Yeah. Well, I hope I'm wrong, obviously. Yeah. Derek, what's your scary, spoopy Eurovision thing?
This is more of a long-term fear, but I always worry that there'll be a small handful of countries that will just dominate every year, and that's it going forward.
Like it's either going to be Sweden, Russia.
Yeah, it just becomes really monotonous. Or a specific style of music just kind of takes over, and we just get that over and over and over again.
Hmm. Well, that was the mid-2000s for you.
Yeah.
In the early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, are you at all concerned that we may be on the verge of that now with Sweden becoming not completely dominant, but frequently dominant somewhat, and some of the other countries that are always up there? To be fair,
certain countries have an advantage just because they have the resources and the talent pool to draw from. I don't think Sweden is quite in the same position it always has been. I mean, you look at their televote in the last couple of years, hasn't been that great. So maybe
that's
they're
true.
Not as dominant.
Very, yeah. Very true.
I should say not, yes.
And to be fair, I guess now that I'm thinking about it a bit more, there has been a different winner every year starting 2013. We have to go back to 2012 to get a repeat winner. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, well, considering that since I've been attending, I've only been to the same country, you know, more than once, and that was Sweden. At least they had the kindness to put it in two different cities.
That was nice.
That was very nice.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sweden. All right. Another quick cue for everyone.
Yes.
I have been thinking about our most recent Eurovision Again winner, Save Your Kisses for Me.
Yeah.
And what I think about most when I see that song or I think about that song is the choreography, like the dancing, which I struggle a bit to call dancing because it is it's just so adorably simple. But I know there's probably even simpler. So my question is, what is the laziest choreography that you can remember in the history of Eurovision?
I've got it.
I think I've got one.
So I'm going to say it's not exactly like physically lazy, but it's the most conceptually lazy. Who was the... This is within the past 10 years. I'm totally blanking. Was it France that did the song Running?
No, that was... Hungary?
And the choreography was just the guy running in a circle?
Or are you thinking, it almost makes it sound like Don't Come Easy for Australia back in 20...
No, I have a vivid mental image, and I wanted to say this was France, but the choreography, the camera was also moving in a circle around the stage, and the guy was like running after the camera,
and he was singing about
running.
No, it was L'amour à la Française. It was Le Fatal Picard, which we had for Eurovision Again a couple weeks back, a couple months ago at this point, I think. At that point, where they were all dressed in pink and black.
This sounds about right, yes.
Yep.
Anyway, I hate that. Yeah, the camera's just following him, and he's running, and he's singing about running. That's it. That's lazy to me. Sam, what do you got?
This is less of an individual song. I mean, I'm going to give you an example that is sort of indicative of a trend from a certain country.
Okay.
And as much as I love Diva, Dinah International, this upbeat, incredible 90s era disco kind of number with such a spitfire of a performer. The fact that most of the choreography was very sort of step touch, step touch, step touch.
Yeah.
And that has happened a lot with a lot of Israeli entries over the years. There's a lot of step touch, step touch, step touch. There's been some great, great, great choreography over the years.
Yeah, I remember Home from last year when he just step touched the entire time.
The moment that we see that, luckily they've broken out of that a little bit. I think at some point. But yeah, that drives me absolutely crazy because the moment that they start doing that, it's just like, oh, yep, there's the Israeli step touch, step
touch. I was just thinking, just imagining like an upbeat, groovier, like, I feel the sun upon my skin. And then I realized, oh, that's Too Late for Love. That's that's exactly what that is. Like for real, those two songs have the same chorus, just at different tempos. Like they straight up do.
Wow.
So yeah. Oh, man. When I think of lazy choreography, the biggest thing that comes to mind for me, and I got to say, it kind of pains me to say this to an extent, because I absolutely love this song, and I love the aesthetic of the song and so on. But if I'm being honest, Rasmussen's Higher Ground is...
It's like Christmas pageant levels of choreography.
Exactly.
It's stand and talk. Park and bark, as we say in the theater industry.
Yeah, there's a little bit of arm movement, only one arm at a time, of course. And then during the, you know, the sort of the bridge sections, there's a bit of a march in place. In place. In place. Gotta stress that. Yeah. And I think the best thing, the best part of that whole thing was, so they made the final and did great. So obviously the crappy choreography was resonating with people. They get to the like second bridge before the final chorus. And Rasmussen, the singer, says with an unbelievable amount of passion, Eurovision, will you walk with us? And then he just sort of takes steps in place very slowly. And I feel like if I was in the audience, I would be like, I mean, I guess, but I don't.
If you're forcing me to.
I don't. Why? Like, I don't... Yeah, you want me to just move my feet ever so slightly for 3 minutes.
That reminded me of like my middle school choir singing something like, I want to say maybe something out of Les Mis. Like maybe Do You Hear the People Sing? And by the end of it, we're all told to do a sort of very specific, again, it's a variation on the step touch, sort of rock from foot to foot, side to side, and then rock forward and back. And it kind of like slowly inching forward, like in this one, two, up, down, left, right. Up, and you're basically not going anywhere, but it just reminded me so much of that.
If there's one thing that I love the mental image of, it's of Sam's elementary school choir slowly looming towards me.
To the tune of Higher Ground.
Yeah.
I assume. Yeah.
I had the full beard and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, remember when they had the kids' choir doing Hatred Mun Sigra?
Oh, that was great.
At the Icelandic final before the world ended. Derek, how about you?
What could have been?
Laziest, huh? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind in the episode of Worst Choreography was Switzerland in 2016.
Oh,
and she just
I'm really familiar with things. What is this song?
It's The Last of Our Kind by Rika. I think it's And she just did this thing where she kind of bent over and stood up over and over again. She didn't move.
What?
She just sort of did this half bend over thing. And
I'm sorry.
Like the bend and snap or no?
There was no snap.
Like her feet were together and she just sort of bent forward and then stood up and just did that over and over again. And
have you ever seen one of those like liquid filled drinking birds?
The one that
Homer Simpson
had. Yes,
again.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. That's kind of what she looked like, only somebody, she had blue hair.
Yeah, somebody tweeted during her first rehearsal, I think it might have been like the first time she did the song in her first rehearsal, I saw someone tweeted, if anyone's betting on last place, Switzerland's a good choice. it's atrocious.
My God. I really need to pull this out. I'll wait until we're done and then I'll go take a look at it. My God.
Oh, remember she also had the smoke pack too?
That was kind of cool.
But it was emanating out of her butt.
That's true. Well, it's supposed to be on her back, and then she was backlit, so it looked like there was all the smoke kind of emanating from her, which was a cool idea, but yeah, they didn't know where to put it.
Don't they understand the smoke is supposed to be blown up your ass, not out of your ass?
We're familiar with that.
Well, now we know a little bit more about Danny's kinky side.
I can't believe what? That's an idiom. What?
Sure thing,
Eric,
Danny.
Please,
sure thing.
Please don't leave me out to dry on this.
Whatever you say,
well,
Smokey.
Okay, I just have a question. Was the smoke coming out the entire time?
I thought it was just at the beginning.
Just like a big 3 minute or whatever. Like,
like she was going to blast off. It just never let her go.
Yeah. I have to go. My planet needs me.
This is what happens when you eat too much Emmentaler. And the pyrotechnics get too close, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel bad about beating up on the song that came in last place, but she just gave us way too much ammo.
She earned it. She earned it.
I don't think it's the worst song. It did not come last. Oh. It didn't come last. It was Estonia that year was the worst. Play got the lowest score.
I thought she came in
play
last
by Moby?
Maybe last in her semi.
I think it was last in her semi, yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't get the lowest score overall. Which was really sad because Play, I thought, was a good song.
I loved Play.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was last in her semifinal.
Ah. Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Poor Rika.
It was back when Switzerland seemed to want to lose.
All right. I've got one more question for you guys.
Yes.
And it's the worst one. Okay. In honor of our pal, I'm going to call him a friend of the show for no particular reason. John Mulaney hosted SNL last night. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to watch, especially when John Mulaney's on. Although last night's was kind of, it was okay. What's a Eurovision act that you would love to see on SNL? Let's say they get the special host and musical guest in one.
Oh, yes.
So they get to do both. Who would you want to see do that?
Okay, so I
and what do you look for? What are you looking for in an act when doing this?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
There's so many like Eurovision hosts that I feel would do a passable job. Who was it who co-hosted with Mons?
Oh, Petra.
Yeah.
She definitely came to mind immediately for me.
Mm-hmm. But if we're going with an act, I'm stumped.
You see, my brain goes right to Mons, just because his English is good. He is funny. He is. I'm not going to say bland is not the word I'm looking for, but he's like flexible enough that I feel like he could take on characters decently well in terms of like somebody puts a wig on him and he can impersonate people decently enough.
He's a bit of a blank slate.
Yeah. But in a good way.
Inoffensive.
Yeah. Hmm. So I think he'd be a decent choice.
Uh-huh.
But we've seen him. So you're asking any Eurovision artist. They don't have to have won.
Yeah. Anybody.
If I'm going off of what I've seen during like press conferences and that, this is going to be a bit of a reach, but I would love to see, let's see, what were their names again? Marta Jandova and Vaclav Neubarta.
Oh my God. Yes.
So what is this?
The Czech Republic from 2015. It was this man and this woman. They did this duet. Their press conference interviews were amazing. They were so funny and so entertaining and they were having the best time. And I thought, I'd watch these guys for like an hour, just mess around.
Yeah, they seemed like they were great friends, and they had like this great rapport between the two of them.
Yeah, they'd known each other for a long time. They said they'd done plays together and other shows.
So they have acting experience. Good.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, check that box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally see them. Another act who's super fun, not afraid to laugh at herself, and would be energetic enough to carry something like this. I think Polly Genova. I think she would. I think she'd be fun.
Polly does seem like she would be fun. Chris Kostov, I feel would.
That is actually who I was probably going to say. He's still really young.
Yeah, but Woody's a bit too young for that. Like maybe when he's
they got Drew Barrymore on there when she was 7 years old. They got her like fresh off of E.T.
Really?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Another name that came
That's who I would say, though. Yeah, Chris Kostov would be great. But it would be one of those things where he's probably better of a musical guest than as a actual, you know, host. They've made an adequate host out of, like, Eli Manning.
Yeah, adequate. I mean, the Giants Passable. Made an adequate quarterback out of him, too. So anyway, Giants. Anyway, another name that came up to mind for me. Mons definitely is a big one. But one that I thought of from the 2020 crop of artists, just based on the appearances he did in the various home concerts and other interviews and things like that, this guy seemed like such an absolute delight that I would like to see him, you know, do some comedic sketches or things like that, because I really think he would knock it out of the park. It's Vasil from North Macedonia.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. His at-home stuff was crazy.
Yeah.
He was great.
He just seems so just full of joy, full of life, especially at a time when, like, you know, this thing he had built up for we don't even know how long was just completely taken away. And he was just like, it's cool, guys. I'm Vasil. Like, that's cool. That's what I... That's what I strive to be in life, is Vasu.
And, you know, he lived in the U.S. for a while. His English is great. I think he lived in Chicago specifically, a city with incredible comedy bones. Boy. Like, that's where Second City's from. Yeah, I could totally see Vasil.
Oh, I just thought of one more.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Do you remember?
I like the podcast has turned into, do you remember these guys?
No, it's like, well, because this guy kind of fell off the face of the earth after his song, Hovi Star.
I was thinking about him. Mm. Yeah, he would be great.
He was so funny. We did the Easy Inside interview with him, and he was just riffing on, God, he was just hilarious. Just following him around, and he'd just go off on all this stuff, and it was like, it was a comedy routine into itself.
Oh yeah, he leans in. I can imagine him just being like very yes and when it came to any sort of script given to him. Mm. Again, not afraid to laugh at yourself. Yeah, Hobie Stark, totally.
This is Made of Stars guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
right? That's an all right song as well.
He I had guess, so much more personality than the song would have led on.
Warranted, well, I see.
He brought a lot more personality to it. The original version was kind of, and he completely redid it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great.
Wow.
Good times. These are some really great ideas.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing these up, Eric.
Yeah. So if you're enjoying this, these sort of more freeform, goofy questions, and would like to ask... pose one of your own, we would love to answer it. So again, drop us a line. It's 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or 12pointsusa on Twitter or Facebook. But yeah, let us know. We'd love to do more of these. This was really fun. Let's see. How do we segue here? We just kind of mentioned Chris Kostoff. Why don't we talk more about Chris Kostoff?
Happily.
Why?
Well, he's
I just mean to what topic? I mean, I can talk about how cute he is, but you know, let's keep going. What more substance is there?
He's created a new alter ego for himself and a new side project.
Yes.
He's going by Chris Gaines now.
Oh no.
Chris Gaines.
K-R-I-S Gaines.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Wow. That reference though.
Kill me.
Well played, Derek. Yeah, our cameras are off at the moment, but you can't see me both nodding my head and shaking it at the same time at you.
It's like a spin cycle.
Yeah, it's hurting my neck, actually. Now, Chris, he has just launched a side project artistic alter ego of himself, which he has entitled Vostok, V-O-S-T-O-K, sort of a play on his name.
Ah, friend.
And he...
Hello, it is me, friend.
He has two songs that have just been launched. I've been listening to them on Spotify. I'm sure you can listen to them on other media as well. Sort of described as a audiovisual project. I'm reading this from the bio on Spotify, for example, that blends a brand new flow of sound with futuristic visual narrative. You could follow him on social media at IamVostok. That's V-O-S-T-O-K.
I said that without knowing that was actually his thing. Yes. I am Vostok.
Yes. I thought you were just making fun. Yeah, so it's you know, the first two songs have just been launched these last few weeks, and I'm really, really excited to see where Chris takes this. It's very, very cool to see a young artist kind of take ownership of their musical identity and their musical path and really just kind of play with it instead of just, I'm just going to put out another song. It's cool to see him spread his wings. And Derek and I have great memories of working with Chris on the Bulgarian team back in Kiev. So to see him go from strength to strength, we're highly biased, but we're totally on board. So Chris, we love you.
Friend of the show, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And the music is pretty interesting. It's a cool, weird sound. I always kind of turn up my nose a little bit anytime I hear like an audio visual project, and it's like, shut up, you made a music video, like, whatever.
Who do you think you are, Aphex Twin? Get out of here.
Yeah, no, it's a little experimental, and I after kind of taking it in a couple of times, I see what they're going for. So yeah, it's cool. If you like Chris, there are parts of it that are definitely unmistakably him, but it's also I mean, it's, for lack of a better word, artsier, you know, than we're used to from your boy, Chris Kostoff. And it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah, check that out. All right, what else we got? What else we got? Another former Eurovision artist news. Sanit, back at it. The freaky trip to Rotterdam continues.
Her freaky tour continues.
To freak the F out. So freaky. So freaky. This time we've got Rise Like a Phoenix in the style of Freddie Mercury. Because... what on earth else would Sanit do?
What she do? Yeah.
You? Yeah.
I feel like the actual musical cover is pretty standard and pretty straightforward. It's all the visuals, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this would have been a weird one to go crazy with.
Well,
you know what I mean?
How do you mean?
I mean, hasn't stopped her before.
True. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I just have a hard time imagining, you know, like a deep house version of Rise Like a Phoenix or something like that. And this is where Sam points out, oh, well, there is one, I imagine.
I'm sure somebody has.
Okay. Not off the top of the head, though.
I need more coffee in order to pull that one from the deep recesses of my brain.
Fair enough.
But I'm sure it exists. And honestly, anybody listening at home, if you know of a deep house cover of Rise Like a Phoenix, feel free to tweet it at us. We'd love to hear it.
Yep. Sam would sure love to hear it. But yeah, check out Sunit's latest and check out the other ones too. Like it's such a fun, weird group of tunes to this point.
I love the fact that she's not only paying homage to the Eurovision songs of the past, but she's also doing such a very cool homage to artists that she has loved, whether it's David Bowie or Freddie Mercury or Grace Jones, that she's really having fun with it. And in these crazy mixed-up times that we're in, like, she's having fun. You can tell that she's loving this. So more power to her. Looking forward to what she does next month.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Will we get a Christmas song for December? Have there been Eurovision Christmas songs?
I mean, for a contest that's held in May, it's kind of hard to do a Christmas song, but I definitely have heard, there have certainly been Eurovision acts that have done Christmas music. Actually, there's an Icelandic cover of the Italian song from, I want to say, 87 called Gente di Mare, but it's covered in Icelandic that they've turned into a Christmas song.
Hmm.
Maybe we can do an episode later on of Eurovision Christmas time.
Oh, I'm sure we can do that.
It's a Eurovision Christmas. Book it. That's coming up. that's definitely going to happen. That sounds great. Let's see. Oh, we also have probably the most important news of this 2-week cycle. More than Chris Kostoff, more than the presidential election, Tusum sang Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Whoa!
if you don't remember, and I hope you do, Tusum are the folks. are the folks that Playa, aka Lithuanian basketball player.
Still convinced it was supposed to be Playa. It's still about a Spanish beach.
Yeah. I don't know.
So good.
But yeah, they covered Ya Ya Ding Dong because of course they did. And how would we describe
it? It was brilliant.
Beautiful. Too good for this world.
It was something like that. It was the coalition of all of my hopes and dreams. And they're wearing kilts. So even hopes and dreams that I didn't even realize that I had. This changed me. This truly, truly, yeah, I got it deep inside. Like this takes over the spot that Belarus had, that, you know, Tusum singing Ya Ya Ding Dong. I've got it deep inside. Can we go on to another topic? I feel like.
Yeah.
We're talking about all the sort of like side projects and everything. So we've had all of this news about side projects and appearances on reality TV, but we're kind of missing a big bit of news that we have word from the EBU. We have our list of countries participating in next year's contest.
We've got them.
We do.
Got them. Granted, it's the exact same list as the list from last year.
Oh.
So
it's significantly more disappointing than it turned out to be. But
you know, that means nobody's jumping ship. We've got 41. You know, we still have Hungary and Montenegro not jumping back into the pool.
Mm.
But nobody's abandoned us.
I'm still gonna miss Hungary.
Me too.
My soft spot for them ever since.
So much.
Why am I stuck on Hard Rock Hallelujah? No, is that that thrash metal song they brought like 3 years ago?
So good.
Avesh, yeah.
I listened to that song while raking leaves yesterday. I raked the hell out of those leaves. Let me tell you, they did not know what was coming.
Like, you probably raked half of Wisconsin on the energy of just listening to Avesh. Mm-hmm.
And that was just before the key change.
Oh.
It was, it was awesome.
Leaf piles on fire.
You know, technically, the pyrotechnics set them on fire.
Ah, of course.
So,
for legal reasons, you have to say that.
That's right. It wasn't me. Let's see. What else we got? We've got... Oh! Daddy's back!
Daddy's back!
Daddy's back! Yeah! Ooh. Daddy's back, baby!
Yes.
I mean, kind of. I feel like this was sort of something that we knew without even confirmation. He's just the kind of guy who would never say no.
I think he was kind of waiting for the right opportunity, maybe the right song. I don't think he wanted to deal with having to go through the Icelandic national final all over again. So the fact that RUV have literally just said, nope, no, you're going. I think that probably helped make the decision. I don't know if he's going to be selecting his own song or if he's going to come up with a handful of them and they'll have a mini national final with just him versus himself. But either way,
we get one who could beat him.
The only man who can beat Daddy Freyr is Daddy Freyr.
He's going to have to hand the trophy over to himself.
Toss it from the left hand to the right hand.
Mm-hmm. Have to be creative. We're going to have to come up with Mecha Daddy Freyr.
The dude is already like 7 feet tall. He's already Mecha Daddy Freyr.
I want to take just a moment and throw to what happened the first time Daddy Freyr was mentioned on this show. Derek?
We also have a couple of returnees to the national final.
Including Daddy Freyr.
Yeah.
My favorite...
Come on, Dan.
You got it. Norse god on Grindr.
Yep. Danny, that's how we kicked it off, our coverage of Mr. Freyr.
I never looked back.
Yeah, how far we've come. I'm just so elated that our first mention of someone who was one of the favorites of Eurovision before it got canceled, began as a Grindr joke on this show. That shows you the type of product that we are putting out there.
And so, Iceland swiped right. Mm-hmm.
It seems like the entire world has swiped right on him. So, like, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about politics. Oh, sorry, Newman.
Sorry.
Grindr thing.
So I asked this once before, after maybe a few weeks or so after 2020 was called off. But now that we know this and some more time has passed, I'm going to ask it again. In your opinion, if you had to guess, just yes or no, is the winner of Eurovision 2021 one of the 2020 artists?
Yes.
Well, at this point, just statistically, chances are pretty decent.
And here's the thing, is I think that the televote would disproportionately favor the old artists, just as a, you really should. It would be mean to bring you back a second time and send you home with nothing.
I don't think,
but at the same time, if their song isn't as good,
yeah, that's gonna be the hard thing.
That's gonna be the backlash. True.
And I'm really worried that an artist is gonna have a slightly less good song that's gonna kill him.
Yeah, I worry about that, especially for Dottie, who's just given himself such a tough act to follow, which is, I mean,
it's, well, there were a bunch of, you know, I would say the same about John's Tears and Diodato. Like, these are tough songs to bring back again. I'd say those were our three strongest artists last year.
Now, Diodato is not officially back yet, this point.
No, at this point.
Especially since Italy would never let him fast pass to back again, because they love... You know, they love, what's it called again? The Italy stuff.
San Remo.
God dang it. Yeah.
No, San Remo is going to be held next year. They're still deciding about how big of a show it's going to be in terms of whether there's going to be a live audience or not. But there will be some form of a San Remo show next year. And as usual, they will probably offer first right of refusal to the winner. So we don't know whether or not Diodato will return for next year's contest. It's all up in the air. It's all, you know, I'm sure right now, in some record company in Italy, they're discussing who's going to submit a song to Sanremo. So stay tuned, I suppose. But in the meantime, we are getting some news in from some of the national broadcasters of what their plans are going to be if they are hosting national finals of their own. It's hard to sort of separate Sanremo from another national final that is sort of a contest onto its own that actually existed before their participation at Eurovision. Albania's Festivali Kungus, which...
That's right.
Yeah, they're first alphabetically, they're first chronologically when it comes to national finals. And they have just released their list of artists and song titles for the competition this year, which will be in December. It looks like there are no returning Eurovision artists on the roster, and that includes Arelena. So we will not see her at next year's competition. We know that for sure.
Okay.
That bums me out.
It does. But, I mean, it opens the door for some other new talent. There are names that are completely new to me, and then there are a bunch of names that are familiar from previous Festivali Kungus or Top Fest, which is another big competition that they have over there. I have a feeling that a lot of eyes are going to be on Ines Nziri, who had recently won a festival in Romania and happens to be managed by a friend of Derek's and mine. So that's That's going to be interesting to see. But she's a very young, very popular, very talented young singer. Other names that fans are kind of gravitating towards, there's a singer by the name of Mirud, very popular gentleman, who supposedly is going to be coming in with a song that he says is reminiscent of last year's second placer in Albania, Metana. So that upbeat ethno-pop. Other names that I think people are mentioning, there's a singer named Orgesa Zaimi, who tends to be a little bit more alt-pop by Albanian standards, which is an interesting balance.
I was for Albania, that's that's going into a new territory.
Yep. Era Rusi, who's another pop powerhouse. And my personal favorite singer who I've been following since, I want to say, 2011 or so, a singer named Camila Islamai, who has this really cool sort of bluesy rock vibe to her voice. I've seen her doing collaborations with Genti Bushpeppa, who I love, and she's just fantastic. So I'm hoping Camila comes out with something as great as she did with her song for Festival last year. But we shall see what happens. Albania is not releasing their songs quite yet, but when they do, I will, of course, be devouring them. So,
Bushpeppa being the man who took us to the mall, as it were, correct?
That's right, the mall.
The mall.
Today.
Before we know it, I mean, Fikmas is going to be upon us too.
The happiest time of the year.
I know. That's, I mean, it's less than 2 months, right?
Yeah. It's normally, Christmas week.
Ooh.
Actually, let me see if they have a date. Well, I know it's December. Mm-hmm. It does not look like the Wikipedia page has said exactly the day that it's going to be, unfortunately, but it's always in December. So it's going to be good either way.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days I'll make it out there for that national final. I just want an excuse to go to Albania, let's be real. I just want to go anywhere.
Well, speaking of going places, Hellfest rumors are starting to come together. Those things have nothing to do with each other. we have one good segue. Like that's what's in the budget. So that's what we can do. But yeah, Melfest rumors, you know, there's always talk of the usual suspects to an extent. But there's one name that I know we have talked about on this show, which is Tusei Chiza.
Who?
Tusei Chiza. He is...
okay. Say it again. I still won't know it.
Say it slower and louder.
Tusei Chiza. Okay, who's now I just feel weird.
Tusei
is a singer who won a thing. Yeah, Swedish Idol or whatever it's called there. The next
right.
ABBA.
Good, because I thought you were talking about the killer from The Usual Suspects.
Oh, no. So, no, he won Win a Date with Dolph Lundgren or whatever it's called. And he's phenomenal. He's so good on that show. I want to say he performed a Eurovision song or two in the competition, if I remember right.
It looks like I'm just looking at his season, and they actually had an entire Melody Festivalen / Eurovision Song Contest theme night. So yeah, he ended up singing Rise Like a Phoenix.
Awesome. So I think it was like the winner's song or something like that, if I remember right. He had a song called Rain. That's sort of a song about mental health and about taking things as they come and staying positive and things like that. And it is a bop and a half. It's so great. And I'll say it now, if he is indeed part of this, and I believe there were some news at the time when he was on Idol that Christer Bjorkman had at the very least informally said, hey, come on Melfest. If that ends up being the case, he's going to be a name to watch for sure.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Let's see. We've also got news from the Melfest of Denmark. Denmark Fest. or whatever it's called. It's MGP. It's the same name as Norway's, right? Sort of?
Yes, very original. Yeah, one's just MGP and one's like MGP Norway. It's Melody Grand Prix is what they call it. So yeah, they've just released a little bit more information on their plans for 2021. Rather than like a big, large-scale arena show, either in Copenhagen or Herning or from Legoland or wherever they'd like to have it. It's going to be held all in studio, so smaller scale. And rather than the 10 finalists that they normally have, they're going to scale that down to just 8. It'll probably just be a single evening show. But yeah, that'll be that from Norway. Not Norway, from Denmark. And we'll find out those names probably pretty soon. But we know that the final will be held on March 6th, which is interestingly enough the same day that Eestilaul is also expected to finish up.
Oh,
and
yes.
The last day of San Remo. So it's going to be a busy one.
Mark your calendars.
It's going to be a busy one.
I can feel it. It's building deep inside.
Just like Belarus. Anyway, we have a little bit of news from our friends over at the, actually not just friends, I should say individual friends, Alessandro, over at the Eurovision Lego recreation.
Yeah.
It looks like he's just released his rendition of the Story of Fire Saga, mm-hmm. now in Lego. So definitely a fun one. So if you just go onto YouTube and just search for Lego Eurovision, the Story of Fire Saga, it's a great little 5-minute video showing what would have been if this were truly an event. And it's it's fun. And the amount of work that is put in by Alessandro, it's unbelievable. He's a great guy who really, really loves this little, not little, it's a actually pretty time intensive project that he does. But I look at this and I'm just so inspired by the creativity and the originality of people in the Eurovision fandom. It's so cool to see. So Alessandro, friend of the show, great job. Congratulations. So check his stuff out.
Also check out Lego. It's pretty cool. It's, I don't know if you guys have seen, it's a pretty neat thing they've got. It's been around for a couple of years, I think. It's it's pretty neat.
So I think they've been around for quite a long, bit longer than that.
Again, did you just put an S on the plural on that, Derek?
Nose.
Nice.
Well, last but not least, we've got a little bit more information on the stage over at Junior Eurovision. So things are kind of coming into focus over there. Looks like a couple of artists will be traveling to Warsaw to record in studio on site there. Hopefully they'll be dodging the massive protests that are currently going on in Warsaw at the moment.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. So we wish them a safe journey over to Poland. And you know, good luck and break a leg recording. Obviously not literally, because these are kids and I don't wish a broken leg on any kid. But yeah, everybody else will be recording from a home studio. We're still waiting for two more songs or artists at the time of our recording right now. We're still waiting for news from Armenia and from Georgia. But other than that, we've got our roster for Junior. And I think over the next couple of weeks, we will be going through our reviews. So yeah. We'll be foisting these songs on our beloved colleagues here to see who our winner of Junior Eurovision 2020 will be.
I will say this, Sam. When I was in elementary school, I always envied the kids who broke their legs because they got to take the elevator to the second floor.
Ooh.
So I hope those kids who want to break their legs, break their legs.
Unfortunately, you
that's
cannot
right.
Reach
you
Danny
heard it here,
Twitter.
Folks. Danny wants kids to break their legs. I am glad I'm not on Twitter.
Well, in that case, that's all the news that I've got on my handy dandy.
Yeah, I like leaving the listeners with the haunting, the looming specter of our Junior Eurovision reviews.
That seems appropriate. So, yeah. In the meantime, everybody at home, feel free to reach out to us on social media. Again, that's Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsUSA. Email us directly with either your comments or your questions. If you want any crazy non sequitur questions like what we did earlier today, feel free to email those to us at 12pointsfromamerica. It's 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or our website itself. So 12pointsfromamerica.com.
Mm-hmm. We got one now. We've had it for a while.
Yeah.
We've had one the whole time, you guys haven't.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're saying otherwise. I guess just one other thing. As we mentioned at the top of the show in a more humorous fashion, we are recording this before we know really anything about what has happened in the United States with the election that is coming up. By the time you hear this, I expect we will probably know. We'll hopefully know what's happening and what's going on. But no matter what we know or what it is we know, this has been a really stressful time here. And if you are like us and have been anxious about all of this nonsense and just kind of wanting various aspects of this to be over and so on and so forth, hopefully we'll be looking more in that direction by the time you hear this. But either way, I just want to say, in all seriousness, we really hope that you are taking care of yourself and doing what you need as far as self-care to make sure that you're getting through the pandemic and the election cycle and all the other crazy crap that's going on right now well enough. If you don't know how to do that, there are resources out there. If you are really feeling down, 1-800-273-8255, the suicide helpline, is always there. It's a really, really important and effective resource. I have used it and I feel very fortunate to have done so at various low points of my life. And I mean, hopefully, you know, things, if things are looking up by the time this episode hits, you know, then cool. But, you know, sometimes feeling down and feeling run down and frustrated with things, the results of an election don't necessarily impact that one way or another. So please take care of yourselves and, you know, reach out to somebody if you need to. You can reach out to me, honestly. Eric is tweeting on Twitter. If you just want to chat with somebody who's not going to, you know, be a dick about it or whatever, then yeah, just hit me up. Like, let's talk. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about. But let's take care of ourselves and each other. And it got really soapboxy for a second, but you know what?
It's a good soapbox to be on, dude.
It's a quality box.
Yeah, it's a nice box. That's a nice box you got there. No, it's absolutely true. Take care of yourself. Take care of your community, your loved ones. Put good into the world and into yourself. And I know, Eric, you mentioned the suicide helpline here in the United States. If you're listening to us from the United Kingdom, you can also reach out to Samaritans. I know they have a great hotline as well. I believe that is 116-123, and other resources, depending on what country you're in, are available as well. Do not be afraid to reach out. And again, reach out to us as well. We're on your side. And on that note, my friends, shall we reconvene maybe this time, possibly next week, so we can start talking about our junior Eurovision songs? Is that all right?
I hope so, yeah. Next couple of shows are going to be all about the June Eurovision.
Will anything top Vizkebi in our estimation? Will anything beat Bim Bam Twa, our victor from last year?
It won't, but we'll see anyway.
Yeah, spoilers, no. But maybe, I don't know. We don't know. So
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it. Junior is so much fun. This will be a great run of previews, I'm certain.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you at home will join us next time. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now. Because literally they went, oh, the song is...
You're doing pretty good for a while there.
Yeah, we lost Danny again.
Did we lose him entirely? Danny? He's gone.
Has he been raptured?
It wasn't that good.